No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here again on Friday. Two practices in Colts training camp, and we continue to get surprises. We continue to see some guys disappear. All sorts of good stuff from camp. Lots of interesting things. I hope that you guys enjoyed the interviews the other day. Hope that you guys enjoyed some of the insights that I had in it. I mean, it's just going to camp, watching their practice, and trying to see what you can take some little nuggets away from how somebody's performing, how somebody's not performing, so on and so forth. So I'm going to give you guys a quick brief rundown of day four and kind of describe to you what I saw down there. And then also I've got a couple of interviews, some interesting interviews from today, and we'll get through that. So initially, practice was practice, you know, all through the calisthenics and the getting geared up and everything like that. The guys were hype. One thing that I wanted to watch was Henry Krueger Cobble, the new addition at the tight end position. They let go of the other guy. I can't remember his name for some reason off the top of my head. And he was phenomenal today. He did well blocking, cracking down. He did well holding the point of attack in the run game. And I was really impressed with his ability to track a ball. There was a ball from, I believe, Tolzien, where they were going running corner routes, and they were supposed to be throwing it to the outside shoulder towards the boundary. He looks over his shoulder to the boundary. The ball is actually floating back to his inside shoulder. He turns around, finds the ball, tracks it, catches it left-handed with one hand. It was really fantastic. I mean, a lot of hoots and hollers. In fact, he caught two one-handed balls today, which is Thursday. At camp today. So it was really impressive, I guess, from that aspect. And you get the rest of the tight end position that is just continuing to be interesting. Brandon Williams looked really good. He's turned into a solid blocker. And I think that's why he was brought in. But he's definitely a guy that is doing what is expected of him. I didn't see a ton of it Tuesday, but I did get to see a lot of it today down there. And I tell you, I continue to be impressed with Eric Swoop. Swoop is bigger now, leaner maybe, but bigger, stronger, faster. And, you know, even he was offering some advice with the route running and stuff to Kamar Aiken, who's a veteran. And it's just kind of interesting. You come from, you know, basketball, never playing really football, to being a guy who's given advice to a veteran in the league. So it was interesting. I enjoy this tight end position. It's going to be a fun one to watch. I wouldn't classify it as a strength right now. Obviously, Jack Doyle does Jack Doyle things. He catches balls that are an inch off the ground. He catches balls high. He catches balls in the back of the end zone that go through arms, you know, and he bodies people up. He runs good routes. He is the man. I don't need to tell you guys about Jack Doyle. He's super consistent, always reliable, and he's going to catch everything. When we go back to the inside linebacker competition here, which is fun because we've looked at a couple different situations where we see a lot of guys rotating in with the ones and the twos, and sometimes you get some of these mixed bags of ones and twos in the secondary, twos and threes of the linebacking core, and then you get like maybe a mixture of all of that up on the defensive line. So sometimes it's really hard to see what exactly they're trying to accomplish with it. But when they are breaking down into their shells initially, and then when they come into 11 on 11s, John Bostic and Antonio Morrison are the number ones in the base. And then you have Edwin Jackson, who is number one out over on the side of Bostic in the sub packages. And then you look at the number twos, and Spence and Walker were number ones in base there. And then they were moving back and forth as far as who would come in there with their nickel packages and whatnot. We do have Daryl Morris lining up as the starting nickel right now. Rashawn Melvin and Vontae are the number one and two corners. That's going to stay that way. As of right now, it's still Matthias Farley and Darius Butler in the back end, although we have seen a little bit of Malik Hooker. That was interesting. I mean, we got to see him. He is he is always diagnosing the plays very quickly back there. I mean, the guy hasn't even seen the ball get released yet. He already knows where the quarterback's going to go. I mean, you can almost see it right after the play action. He already knows where the ball's going, and he's getting there. We got to see a little bit of Quincy Wilson playing really good ball today, some batted balls. There was just a lot of good defensive play. And I think Anthony Walker is actually moving up in the depth chart. I'm not so sure where we actually see Sean Spence right now. And that's something that is kind of keeping me curious. I just haven't seen them really take to him, if that makes any sense at all. Sometimes you get kind of a sense that there's a guy being left out. He's getting his rotation in with the twos. He's occasionally in with the ones. But you just don't hear his name a lot. You don't hear a lot of people saying, "Ooh, Sean Spence, nice play," this, that, and the other. Or you don't hear the coaches talking about it much unless they're directly asked about him. And then you have guys like Bostic who are making plays all over the field. Antonio Morrison looks phenomenal. Edwin Jackson's kind of forgettable right now as well. And, you know, Luke Rhodes is a guy who's been in there and the coaching staff loves him. So I kind of wonder if there's an opportunity for Luke Rhodes to scooch up in there. I just wonder what this inside linebacking core is going to look as we get, you know, maybe halfway through the preseason or even a little bit further. It's really interesting right now because there's so much competition with this group, and a lot of them look really good. I mean, like I said, Edwin Jackson, and when I say forgettable, I just mean there you don't see any good or bad necessarily, or really good or just bad. You see everything right in the middle. So, I mean, I guess you could say that he's doing well if you're not noticing one way or the other, but he's not going above and beyond. He's not being noticed for being really good. So it's something that happens when you watch these guys. You tend to notice the good and the bad. You don't tend to notice the guys who are just staying pretty even keel. So maybe that's on me, but it's just the way it goes. Like I said, Quincy Wilson looked good today. There was a couple other safeties that looked really good. I thought that Andrew Williamson made a couple plays. Lee Hightower, Tyson Graham, all those guys. Tevin Mitchell was good in coverage today. Nate Hairston, the rookie out of Temple, he was working. I think I expected him to be in the slot, you know, and that was kind of what he was brought in as. He was out on the boundary running as the number one in the thirds or in the threes. And that was interesting to me. I didn't expect him to be out there. I expected him to be in, but they've really kept Tevin Mitchell and Daryl Morris and a couple other guys, Dante Blackman, they've used them almost primarily in the slot. And Blackman did get a little bit outside today, but, you know, they're really moving a lot of guys around today. And just this early in camp, it's hard to tell who's going to be doing what. And it's hard to tell who they really like because there's so much movement and so much. I mean, there's 90 guys out there, you know, vying for 11 spots. So there's a lot of movement. We look up into the front four here and the front three. This is one of the most exciting years I've ever had as far as watching a defensive line. Jonathan Hankins and Al Woods, I've talked about this all day. I've talked about it in my camp notes. These two are absolutely on par with each other. They have a great chemistry already, and they're just an absolute mismatch for anybody that they go up against. Henry Anderson's going out to the five tech. Henry's looked good, solid, nothing extraordinary, nothing bad. One of those guys, kind of middle of the road guys, hasn't gotten a lot of pub through camp because he's just fallen in that middle road. But, you know, T.Y. McGill looked really good. Grover Stewart looked really good. The interior of this defensive line, you can call me now, or, you know, you can mark it down now and you can make fun of me later if I'm wrong. But this is going to be the best interior defensive line the Colts have had in 6, 7, 8 years. They just look phenomenal. Hankins is fast and strong. Al Woods is big, strong, can take on the double team without any issues whatsoever. That's going to free up Hankins to do a lot of dirty work from that three tech as far as rushing the passer, getting in the backfield, stopping the run. T.Y. McGill looked explosive today, got in the backfield a lot. Grover Stewart, again, he is explosive as well. Did not expect that after watching his college tape. He has impressed me a ton in these first two practices. I have no idea what he is going to end up being as far as like a three tech, or he's going to run, you know, maybe a backup to the nose or just whatever. That's the thing with this. We're going to have a lot of guys in here, including Hassan Ridgeway. We can't forget him. He came back today. He looked pretty decent as well. And he actually got in there with the 11 on 11s and some of the one-on-one drills. And he looked good. And now we have Kendall Langford, who hasn't been in there at all. What are we going to do with this group? Somebody's going to get cut out of these guys, and it's just going to be the way of the word. It's fun to watch other positions and see who's versatile, because you have guys like Tyvis Powell, who I talked to the other day. Like I mentioned before, he can go in between safety and corner. He's a guy who has the opportunity to allow the Colts to use a roster spot somewhere else on a guy such as the defensive line if he can cover both a safety and a corner spot on the roster. I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm just giving you an example, but that's something that we need to keep in mind. There are several guys on this roster who are like that. And that's ultimately who's going to be the guys who this team counts on. And they are going to have to squeeze 53 guys here. And, you know, we may see Grover Stewart make the roster or T.Y. McGill make the roster. And one of them will be inactive each week. I mean, that's just the possibility that we're going to get stuck with here. It's just fun group to watch. And figure out what's going on with that. Quarterback situation, Stephen Morris, one of the guys I've hyped up over the past 12 months or so, has not done much at all as far as I'm concerned. Scott Tolzien's just not very good, but Stephen Morris is a guy that I kind of pegged that I thought he was significantly better. I do remember that he wasn't great in camp last year, but he really showed up in the preseason games. And maybe he's just a gamer, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's the case or not. But I really want to see somebody better than Scott Tolzien if anybody has to take the field in week one besides Andrew Luck, which is a possibility. I don't think that this notion of him being on the regular season pup is reality. I just don't think that's factual. I just don't. But if anybody's going to have to take the field for a week, I don't know who it should be. I mean, Philip Walker's done better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. He's got a really strong arm. And he's been okay with his accuracy. Sometimes he's been way off. But, man, Scott Tolzien today threw a screen pass to Marlon Mack, was 20 feet over his head, and landed out of bounds. So as far as accuracy goes, none of these guys have got it. So it's a scary group if we have to deal with any amount of games without Luck as far as what's going to actually be back there. Just because of in-game stuff, Scott Tolzien did well in the real game last year when he had to play against Pittsburgh. Stephen Morris looked really good when he played in the preseason. So it's hard to describe who you think is gonna really end up being the number two guy here. At running back, we got Gore, who looked good today, was limited a little bit in practice, not for any specific reason, just like kind of a pitch count, if you will. Turbin looks explosive, looks good. Marlon Mack is very fast, looks good. But right now, he and Josh Ferguson are kind of trading back that number three and number four role. That's interesting to watch. Ferguson is the number one punt return, or number two punt return guy. So they are using him back there in the return game as well, along with Quanbre. And that's something to keep your eye on as well, because Quanbre makes the roster. There's some interesting things we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about them right now. Obviously, we got Hilton, Moncrief, and Chester Rogers, number one, two, and three. I think that's fairly cut and dry. Looking at Aiken and Dorsett had a really good practice today. He looked good. He ran really good route. I believe he sent Nate Harrison backpedaling on a double route and came across the middle on like about a 15-yard square in and, you know, caught it and went upfield and was untouched for another 15, 20 yards. He had a good practice, and he needed it bad. For all intents and purposes, he looked good all day. He had another catch along the sideline where he had to go down for the ball, and Vontae Davis was covering him, and he shook Vontae, and it looked nice, you know. So I was proud and happy for Dorsett. But when we get to Aiken, I just feel like Aiken is a roster bubble guy right now, every bit as much as anybody else is. And we're talking about Dorsett, how he's terrible in this. But let me tell you, Dorsett is faster and is a significantly better option if you're looking to go downfield than Aiken. Aiken is not a fast guy. He doesn't get a lot of burst going into his route cuts. He runs quality routes, but there's no explosion into his cut and then out of his cut. He's a very monotone speed guy. I mean, just very much the same speed the whole way through. He's athletic enough to get up and make some contested catches and stuff like that. But I think that there's a possibility that Aiken doesn't make this team. I think that if you get to Quanbre and he's as good as Aiken and he can do the return game, I just don't think that Aiken's on this roster come week one. Doyle, I told you guys about the tight ends. They look good. The offensive line was good, despite all the talk I've got about the defensive line and everything, about how good they were. The offensive lines looked pretty good, especially the starters. Vucinic has been pretty decent. A guy like Adam Redmond has done pretty decent. Not great, but pretty good. Denzel Good's had moments here and there where he's looked pretty decent, but he's also had some really bad moments. I mean, he looked actually better when they moved him out, kicked him out to tackle today, doing one-on-one drills. I think the Colts are really missing, at least for right now, because I haven't seen him in practice, but we need to see what Brian Schwenke can offer this depth on this offensive line. Because if he's not offering much more, then Vucinic and Adam Redmond might be the best depth that the Colts have right now. Because Denzel Good is very hit and miss at this moment at guard. I just don't see that as a natural position for him. But like I said in my tweet earlier today at practice, you can basically pencil in, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't write it in pen, but Anthony Costanzo, Joe Haig, Ryan Kelly, Jack Muhort, and LaRaven Clark from left to right. That's what I would have as the offensive line as of now. They have continued to do that every single day. That's who they're starting with. That's who they're running with. Any other observations other than that, I'd like to know what practice they're watching, because that's not what they're running with. As far as I'm concerned, that's the group. And, you know, this depth on this line needs to get better. That's a scary thing. The starters look really good, but the depth, they can do better, and they need to do better. This defensive line is absolutely having their way with anybody past the starters, and they're beating the starters. When we look at the pass rush, Jabal Sheard, John Simon, Akeem Ayers, Barkevious Mingo, and Terrell Basham, those guys initially have done all pretty good. Barkevious Mingo's done good. He's not strong enough, in my opinion, to hold the point of attack on the outside and just hold the edge. I just don't think he is, especially when you get a nice tall tight end with some strength and stuff to be able to block him, or however you're going to control the end of your offense. He's just not that guy right now. I think that he can contribute. I just don't think that he's a guy that you can expect to be a rotational piece, at least not a backup. Terrell Basham, I talked to you guys about his bull rush the other day, but that's about all I saw from him. I didn't see much of anything of excitement today at all from him. I expected him to be better than what he is right now as far as being schooled in the secondary moves and stuff. And he's only really got one move, and that's something that he needs to impress upon in learning an additional move. John Simon, Jabal Sheard, consistent. They're getting after every single snap. They can both rush. They can both be the strong side backer, and they'll both be in those roles. As far as I'm concerned, they'll both interchange periodically. What's fun is when you see the guys go into that nickel and you see that you have Hankins at the nose for the most part because of the pass rush, and then you've got Simon and Sheard split out wide or a combination of that, and that's their three. That's their three pass rushers right there. Everybody else needs to complement those three guys, and we're not seeing elite pass rushing out of anybody right now at camp that I've seen. So I think that the majority of the pass rush is probably going to come from the interior, or it's going to come from scheme and drawing up intelligent, unique plays and being able to diversify between your stunts and just everything that comes with that. That's going to have to be on Ted Monachino's shoulders, because he really needs to have a good year calling plays, and this group will allow him to be a little more versatile with what he wants to call, but he's going to have to be smart about it too, and he's going to have to get after quarterbacks as far as I'm concerned. So those are kind of my insights today. I just thought that everything was pretty decent. I thought that there were some nice points. There was a little bit of everything as far as that goes. Some bad, a scuffle between Denzel Good and Justin Thomas, the defensive end from Iowa State. That was quick. Justin Thomas kind of tossed him aside, and Good didn't like it, got up, shoved him. They got in each other's face, and it was over with. But, Justin Thomas is a strong dude. He's just not fast enough to hit the edge. And if he was faster, he's plenty strong and plenty long that he would be an interesting guy to keep an eye on. So as far as anybody that I would say as far to keep their eye on the most, I would say Anthony Walker right now, as far as a guy that you may or may not understand is vying for a roster spot or a starting spot even possibly down the road. He and Marcus Hunt. Marcus Hunt has been very consistent. He also has a bull rush, but he also has an initial and a secondary pass rush move. He's not great, but he's very big. He's bigger than Henry Anderson. Maybe not quite as stout, but definitely taller, and he's longer. So he's a guy that could really bring a lot to that defensive line, aside from the fact that, you know, he's just not great, you know what I mean, if you want to put that kind of a quotation on him. But D'Ontrez Mount had a really good practice today. He looked good. Garrett Sickles was a guy who stood out to me on Tuesday. He didn't show out to me at all today, so I was kind of disappointed in that. I wanted to see more from him. But other than that, I didn't really recognize Tyvus Powell at all today. I thought he was really good on Tuesday, similar to Garrett Sickles. David Perry did not practice for the second straight day. And, I mean, he's got some sort of an injury because he's working with trainers, but he doesn't have anything wrapped up. He doesn't have any sling or a boot or anything else, so it's really hard to tell what's going on with him. But, you know, he's way behind the curve as far as I'm concerned of the four guys, because McGill, Stewart, Woods, and Hankins are all ahead of him, and I don't think he's got a spot on this roster, quite honestly. So I hope you guys enjoyed some of my insights right there, and I did get a couple more interviews, so I'm going to throw these at you. We got Malik Hooker, Rashawn Melvin, and John Bostic I'm going to throw at you. So I hope I'm going to play these all back to back. Hope that you guys enjoy them. And hopefully I'll have a few more to get if I can get back down to another practice next week. Try to get those okayed through the Colts, and we'll go from there. So enjoy these interviews.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm good physically enough to go out there and compete, but you just don't want to overdo it. You know, like I said, it's been 7 months since I got out there and, you know, did a full week of, you know, anything, or even had, you know, game-like atmosphere. So you just don't want to go out there and overdo it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It looks like your reactionary skills have been pretty nice. We feel like, I mean, you said you're healthy, but do you feel comfortable being able to read and react with what you're diagnosing with the offense?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, I'm still, you know, reading and reacting as I was in college. You know, I feel like being out here and watching a lot of the vets while I was out, I feel like that definitely helped out as well, just seeing how D-Buck carries himself and how he plays the post. And I just pretty much took a lot of his game, you know, added it to mine when I got out there.
Coming into the pros, that single high, there's not a whole lot of teams that can successfully do that. Yeah. What do you think makes you different with this team to be able to hold that position?
I feel like our secondary, you know, I feel like we're very talented. You know, we got a lot of young guys, a lot of longer defensive backs, and I feel like, you know, the vets, they do a great job of being the coaches out there. They're not just players. They go out there and they do a great job of emphasizing to the young guys that, you know, the standard is held. And when you go in that game, you know, whether you're first year starter or you're a special team player, you know, you go out there and you're a starter.
What's the best thing about this scheme that you like the most?
No, I like the linebackers. You know, just how, you know, just how they go out there and they play. You know, they're physical. They guys that can run. You know, you think most of our linebackers is like defensive back because of how fast they are and how they run wide receivers. So I just like how, you know, they go out there and compete, because then I guess the DB's rolling.
You guys are also much bigger up front than you've been in the past, or than the Colts have been in the past.
Yeah.
But they're also, I mean, they don't lack for speed. T.Y. McGill, Hankins, none of those guys are slow, man. Even Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, so what is the one thing that you notice from the defense as you
– Like I said, I feel like we're very athletic. You know, we got, like you said, there's a lot of the big guys up front. You know, they move very good, you know, and do a good job of helping us on the back end, because, you know, if they're getting to the quarterback and sacking them or putting pressure on the quarterback, then that makes our job way easier. Like I said before, the linebackers as well, you know, they're running and fitting the gaps and, you know, covering receivers and giving us great under coverage as well. So I feel like they're just making it a lot easier on the back end for us.
How are you enjoying the competition this year? It looks like the secondary is quite the group to be dealt with this year. It's kind of exciting to see.
Because I agree with you. We got guys all around the field. And the secondary is making plays, that's competing for opportunity to be a starter or to be a backup and a role player. So we all understand how important our roles is on this football team, even though the guys who are fighting up just to make the team. So we all just come out here and compete every day, give it our all, and make corrections and don't try to make the same mistakes.
How you like bottom. It looks like you've got some interchangeable pieces and stuff in that secondary. You guys have interesting some interesting nickel setups with your linebackers and stuff too. It looks like you guys have a nice coverage group. You've got a nice experience back there, and you've also got some really interesting rookies as well.
Like I said, as a defense as a whole, I think we're doing some good things out there. You know, with the guys that add in that came up for agency, playing fast, understand the defense, and we just try to focus on the plan that's won. And doing our assignments, doing our job, so we can contribute to our defense.
As you've been working with the ones so far, what's something that maybe you picked up really quickly on this year, as opposed to may have taken you a little while to come along with last year or something?
I think I'm miles ahead of, as like I was last year. You know, I understand the defense fully, completely. My technique is great. So I mean, like I said, I'm just miles ahead of where I was last year.
What's the one thing that you notice the most about the roster in general? Not so much the second year.
Like I said, the guys that's on this team, everybody that's on this team, they're here to compete. They're here to make a name for themselves, and it's making us a better defense, defense and offense as a team overall.
Well, what is it like coming over with a whole new roster, a whole new setup, with so many new faces, and not only for yourself, but for the guys who were here to begin with?
Well, I mean, that's the business side of it. You know, but at the end of the day, it's about us coming together, you know, getting close as a group, learning each other, you know, learning how each other plays, and, you know, keep growing together.
What's the main thing that you notice about coming? I mean, it is a new team, it's new coaches, it's new everything. What's the surrounding theme that you think, aside from the competition mantra that's been, you know, put out there so often, what's the one thing that you're noticing from just about everybody?
Family, just how close everybody is. You know, a lot of us, you know, played together before, or played against each other in college, but now, you know, we're here, you know, like I said, learning each another, and like I said, we just got to keep growing, and, you know, every day we got to keep making sure we're getting better.
For a full season, you know, I mean, with the injury, what is this year for you to come in here and make a name for yourself?
It's a big year, you know, for me to be able to come in, you know, show my teammates, my coaches, you know, just everybody, you know, what I can do. I know what I can do, you know, when I'm healthy. You know, I'm a three-down backer. You know, I can play the run, I can play the pass. You know, now, like I said, I'm fully healthy, I'm ready to go. I'm excited about the year.
What do you feel is your strength?
I feel really my strength is, you know, being able to kind of play a little bit of everything, you know, a little bit of versatility. I can play Mike, I can play Will, you know, change of a dime. So I'm not really worried about this, you know, going back and forth or anything like that. So that's never really bothered me. You know, like I said, it's just keep learning this defense, keep learning my teammates, and just, you know, we just got to keep getting better.
Who are the teammates of yours that are standing out to you, like, immediately? Who's the first guy that comes into your head?
I mean, for me, I'm a linebacker, so my front seven. You know, all those guys up front, you know, everybody brings a little bit something different to the table. You know, up front, you know, we got some two-gappers. You know, we got some guys that can get up the field. We got some guys that can set edges. We got guys that can come downhill. So we got a little bit of everything. Like I said, it's just about everybody coming together. Let's figure out, you know, what this, you know, identity of this defense is going to be.
I can't remember all the front sevens you've been with, but what is this front seven in your line rank up to the groups that you've been with in the past?
Size-wise, it's the biggest we've been up front. You know, I played in Chicago. We were, you know, primarily cover two teams. So, you know, we had more smaller guys, good the field type guys. We've got guys, you know, that's got size but can still get up the field as well. You know, so they can do a lot of different things up front. But, you know, for me, you know, as long as they cause disruption up front, you know, it's gonna help everybody out. It's going to help the, you know, the back end out. It's going to help, you know, clear things out for the linebackers, allow us to come downhill. So everything starts with them up front.
A lot of good stuff there from all three of those guys. Very interesting to get their points of view. I really enjoy how much both Bostic and Hooker seem to be just very good guys. You know, I noticed that a little bit with Tyvus Powell. Very open and personable people. You know, Rashawn Melvin was a guy who was a little more serious. I think he's taking a very serious, headstrong approach to the season, and I love that too. You know, he was personable, nice guy. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm getting at. But the guy has a clear motive when he's talking about football that he's going to be the guy. And he definitely does know the playbook. He was right about that. There's a much smoother transition this year. He looks like a starter, and that's good for me to see. John Bostic, it was fun to talk to him about what he sees with this this unit in as a whole. And he said himself how important this year is for him coming back. He's got to make a name for himself, and he's got to make a name for himself for this defense, and he's got to be the guy to stand there. He's the number one inside linebacker period. He is the number one guy. Everybody else is going to be aside him, and he's earned it. He's played well in coverage. He's played well against the run. There is nobody that's beating him out right now that I can see. He's going to be the number one. Hope he stays healthy and still hope that he can actually put some of that on the field when it comes game time. One of the things that they've talked about him is that he's a camp warrior almost, looks good in camp, and then when it gets to the games, hasn't been great. I know that he had a good year in Chicago, but after that, that was about it. You know, Hooker was a fun conversation. I mean, I don't need to really talk too much more about that. I hope that you guys enjoyed that. I enjoyed getting to talk to these guys. I enjoyed covering camp for you guys this week as well. Hope that you guys all enjoyed it. And I'm going to get out of here for the week. So I hope that you guys all have a good weekend. Make sure that you guys are rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. I appreciate it very much. That helps the show get noticed. It really helps me tremendously. So thank you guys all for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week right here on the Coltscast.